Thank you, Pastor, and thank you all for being here at our Wednesday night midweek service. It's a privilege to be back in at Buffalo Ridge. We come before you with a heart full of thanksgiving tonight for what God has done to bring us through the first year and a half on the mission field. It was exciting. It was challenging. We saw God's grace in an amazing way. It's good to see many of you that went down on the team right before we got down there to the field again, and appreciate those that have gone to Fiji and other missions endeavors for the year. We pray for you. We pray for the ministry here at Buffalo Ridge. Pray for the work here. We are excited about what the Lord is doing. The first year, obviously, we got settled in. We had many adventures, missionary stories to tell of things not going quite the way you expect them to go, and the Lord intervening and taking control, and we're very thankful for what God has done. March of last year is when we got, we had one of those terrible, awful, no good, very bad weeks, and in 3 days in a row, we got two scary diagnoses, and Rebecca fell and broke her shoulder all in 3 days in a row. And that was a kind of a shock. And the Lord just stepped in, took care of us out of 25 million people, or roughly, in Sao Paulo. God gave us the perfect doctors. He took care of every detail along the way. And Caleb, pray for him. I've got several of my family tonight. We've got a little guy with some strep throat tonight. He couldn't come, but we've got most of the kids here. But Caleb, you pray for him. 25th of July, he'll be having his fourth surgery in his middle ear. And those are very delicate. It's hard to find someone to even do that. And God put us in the hands of a Jewish man, Mauricio Kirk. Many of you praying for him. We appreciate your prayers for him. We've developed a relationship with this man over the last year and a half. He has three times done surgery on Caleb. Every time has been successful. I was at a hearing audiologist's office this week, and the lady who was helping us, audiologist attending us, she said, "It's miraculous that this boy can hear this well after three middle ear surgeries." That was her words. Well, the Lord is in the business of doing miracles, and we thank him for that. Thank him for taking good care of us. Kids are adjusting. We're learning Portuguese. Rebecca, too, after a year like that, she's just still finishing up her language studies. It's not easy to learn another language, no matter what it is, but she's doing very well. She's really got a sharp mind. We're getting her out with ladies more, talking, and she's doing great, and the Lord has blessed us. We started out the first year in one church, thinking that we were just going to go there and help, being under the tutelage of another pair of missionaries or so, and then they both took off and left us with the church for about 4 months, which was not the plan, but the Lord helped bless that too. That church is going strong, Igreja Batista da Fé, that is Faith Baptist Church. That church is getting ready to begin construction. Actually, they have 4 weeks ago now, they've begun construction. We were able to contribute our container that we shipped down there to use for the building supplies, and we help contribute to that monthly. That building is going up, and Lord willing, the next year, we'll get our first phase done. That the building is situated across the street from one of the largest technical schools in the area. There'll be somewhere between 7,000 to 8,000 students every day walk by the front. The college students walk by the front doors of that church. God, what a strategic place. I mean, what an amazing place to have a church. The church is established. It's been there for 10 years. Good group of people. They run about 50 to 60 people. They're growing. They're excited. We are transitioning away from that church because of the distance from us and the difficulty of getting there every Sunday due to traffic and such. Although we worked there for a year and a half, we still go on Sunday nights. We take care of children's ministry. We're training children's workers there to take over that ministry. But then we're going more to my mom and dad's church plant out in Calcaia, Grace Baptist Church, Igreja Batista da Graça. That church is growing by leaps and bounds. They're running about 60 as well, also looking to begin building. So in the fall, we have a short fundraising trip planned, and we'll be showing you pictures and doing some more things. We've got about six missions conferences lined up to come in, and we're going to be doing some fundraising for those construction projects because they're going great guns. We had a special Sunday about 6 weeks ago. Dad allowed me to preach and have a children's emphasis for a Sunday school campaign we kicked off. We had over 130 people there. So praise the Lord, several decisions for Christ, but the Lord is doing the work. We have seen, you know, things don't always go the way you expect. God gives us the opportunity in every situation that we're in to give the gospel, whether it's something you expected to happen or didn't expect to happen. Every day as you walk through your life, if you know Christ, and if you are born of the Spirit, that's going to be our theme tonight. If you'll open your Bibles to John chapter 3. John 3, don't go into sleep mode because I said John 3 and you think it's all old hat, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's a living, and it will speak to you tonight if you'll let it. We're going to ask the Lord. We've asked the Lord's blessing on the service already, but I'd like to ask the Lord's blessing on the message tonight as we look at the topic of being born of the Spirit. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless now as we examine your Word in a few brief moments tonight. So thankful, Lord, for this church. So thankful for those who sacrifice every month and every week, sometimes every day, to help missionaries get to the field and stay on the field and preach the gospel and see you work as a channel of blessing, as an extension of the work here all around the world. Lord, we thank you for Brother Valente is here tonight. We thank you for the others who are represented all across this globe tonight, meeting and praying and serving and preaching the gospel. Encourage those that are discouraged tonight. Lift up the brokenhearted, the feeble knees. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage those that are on the firing line, that are battling against Satan. I pray that you would be with them. Lord, help us tonight. I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, open our eyes. Show us, Lord, if we've been blind. Show us where we need to change. Help us grow close to you and to your heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, the gospel is an individual story. It applies individually. As we lift up Jesus Christ tonight, one of my favorite two chapters of the Bible is John 3 and 4. You have Nicodemus, the religious man, and you have the woman at the well, despised, chewed up by the world, who'd made so many mistakes. Two contrasts, and yet, what changed them? They individually met Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as we think about what gets the world's attention, what gets people's attention? If I want to share the gospel with someone, what do I need to do? Do I need to dress in a flashy way? Do I need to have a big band? Or do I need to have a entertaining sermon? Do I need to have some kind of, you know, a coffee shop atmosphere to the church? Do I need to... What attracted people to Jesus, to the gospel, is Jesus. Simple. But what was so different? What is so different about what we believe? Just on the way here, stopped at the red box. I'm sure none of you ever do that, but put those things back in. And there's a guy next to me. Got the gun loaded. We chatted about putting the movies back. And I said, hey, when you got a quiet moment tonight, I want to give you something to talk to you about, just about you, God, in heaven. It's not about religion. It's about you, God, and heaven. Why? Because that's what it's about. If you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, you're missing. Church isn't it. Nobody goes to heaven because they're Baptist. You know, as a brother last week said, we'll all be Baptist when we get there, right? But nobody goes to heaven because they're Baptist or he's got baptized. Nicodemus came in. I love it. You know, he comes in with all his pomp by night, of course. He's got to be real discreet about this. I mean, it's kind of frowned upon to talk to this Jewish carpenter. And he comes in and he opens up a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Interesting, he said, we know that you're from God. We being the Pharisees. It's an interesting admission, isn't it? Because he says you're different. Nobody can say the things you say. Nobody can do the things you do except they be from God. Actually, they be God. Jesus didn't come as tried to convince a Buddhist man in a taxi not long ago that he wasn't just a good teacher, a specially enlightened person. That he is God, and anything else is to deny him, is to say a lie about him, because he claimed to be God and he is God. And Jesus just cuts him off short, and he takes this this trajectory that Nicodemus is not expecting. He doesn't say, well, thank you very much. He doesn't acknowledge a compliment. He doesn't say anything like that. He looks right back at Nicodemus and he says, you know, cutting right to the heart, ye must be born again. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is an interesting fella. He's very literal. He's sort of like kleptomaniacs, you know. You can't explain puns to kleptomaniacs because they take things literally. Some of you will get that later on. Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He's taking it real literal here. How do you understand? What? He's a literalist. And Jesus explains. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. It should get people's attention. Jesus, as we're going to get to our theme verse or this week, is verse 7. Let's read through that, and then we'll stop and make some few comments here. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You have to be born of the Spirit. Now, there's two meanings of the word born. We can say to be born along, a little different spelling. Jesus Christ obviously was led by the Spirit throughout his ministry. You see the temptation. The Spirit leads him. Everything he did only what his Father commanded. That is being led and directed by the Spirit. We're talking about being born again, having new life. Now, life is interesting. You don't have to fake life. If you have it, you have it. Nobody had to tell me any of my children were alive when they were born. They made lots of noise. They wanted to eat. They made messes. They had to be changed. They had to be fed. No, none of them had to fake it. You know? It's not hard to understand this. And yet, Jesus takes the time to illustrate spiritual truth with physical things. Do you do that when you talk to people? Do you make application of the gospel in your daily life? There are things all over this world that point people to Jesus Christ. Things in your everyday life that you can use to point people to Christ. Not just to win an argument or to try and convince people how smart you are, but to point people to Jesus Christ. Whether it be creation, whether it be something that you experience in a job, even something negative, or you point to Jesus with that. Use illustrations. Jesus Christ uses several illustrations here. He talks about, you know, you've got to have a physical birth. Everybody's born, nobody hatched. But you got to have a spiritual birth too, Nicodemus. He doesn't get that very well. And Jesus says, look, don't be surprised. Spiritual truth is deep, but it's not hard to understand. He goes on in verses 10 through 12, and he talks about that as well. He says, you know, you're a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? You know, you don't. If I've told you of earthly things, verse 12, and you believe not, how should you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? What do you use to give the gospel? Wind is a great illustration. It's an invisible power. We had a windstorm go through about 2 weeks ago in Brazil. Rebecca was out at language studies, and my dad was out at the post office. And right over their heads, we had some wind that took two roofs off of warehouses and blew out all the windows of one of our health clinics. And they didn't get home for a while because of the power of wind. You can't see wind. How do you know it's there? Well, duh, I mean, look at what it does, you know. See those, I mean, they love the weather, since the invention of the Weather Channel, I think I've seen more tornadoes in my life than I've ever seen, you know, in person. Seen hundreds of them. But we all look at, we're fascinated. They got these crazy people that go chasing tornadoes just to get them on video, you know, get in the line of that storm just to get a shot of the power of wind. Your life, my life, should illustrate that truth, because we should be born of the Spirit, and there should be an invisible power working in us, working through us, working that people look back and say, wow, what is that? I can see that change, that difference, that power. And why is it that we're lacking that? Why do we that say we are born of the Spirit so often lack the Spirit's power in our lives? Many times it's because we are walking and we have grieved the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God who is holy and who inhabits our heart. So many times we ignore Him. We deny Him by our works. We say, oh yes, I trust God. And then we go on and act like we trust the arm of the flesh. We act like everything depends on us and our abilities and our talents and our resources. And we stop trusting God. We act as if, you know, for all practical purposes, God didn't exist. We are base practical atheists. And yet we name the name of Christ and we even know Christ many times. Maybe you're here tonight and it's been a long time since you've seen the power of God working in your life, in your heart. When is the last time you've seen God answer your prayer directly? I'm not here pointing fingers. I'm not saying I'm always this way. No, I'm just challenging all of us. We need the Spirit's power in our lives. The fact is, the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies of Jesus Christ. And if Christ is lifted up, He will draw all men to Himself. He is the one who points to Christ all through the Scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament, He points to Jesus Christ through the inspiration of the Scripture. One of the evidences, let me say this, one of the main evidences of the Spirit life, of a life that has been born again, has to do with compassion for the lost. Why is Jesus on this rooftop in the middle of the night speaking with this religious man? Why? Because He had compassion. As it says in Mark 6:34, He looked on the multitudes and he was moved with compassion for them. They fainted. And the woman at the well, the disciples were all occupied with other things, and yet Jesus was there on purpose because He had compassion on someone nobody else even cared about. But remember, for those of you who say, well, I can't, you know, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a preacher, I'm not, you know, a missionary. It wasn't so much even what the woman, remember when she went and got her friends and told them that she had met Jesus, and they came back and met Jesus? What did they say? You know, we believed Him, not because of what you said, but because we've met Him ourselves. What's your job and my job, Christians? It's to introduce people to Jesus. Jesus is the one that changes us. Jesus is what it's all about. Jesus Christ is the one who changes people, not my good looks or lack thereof, not my abilities, not my disabilities. None of us in here can say, God, well, You can't use me. You know, God spoke through the mouth of a donkey. He can speak through you and me. What did Jesus Christ come for? You know, we not skipping this over, the goal and the object of this passage is John 3:16. It all leads to that point that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Listen to verse 17 if you've forgotten it. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Compassion for the lost. What is going to attract people to Jesus Christ? Bless God, our righteous indignation at the sins of the nation. Do we have a right to be righteously indignant? Yes. Do the sins of our nation, our world, offend a holy God? Yes. But folks, sinners sin. Do you know what they need? They need Jesus Christ. They need Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are disciples and that you have good doctrine. Is that what it says, brother? No? Good doctrine is important. Have to have it. Need to believe what the Bible says. But that you have love one for another. Have we forgotten, church, how necessary, how fundamental it is that God so loved the world that He gave Himself, and that through that we could be saved? And our greatest characteristic as God's children should be that we love people, People who are sinners. People that don't deserve to be loved. People who are rude and mean and nasty and do bad things and treat people wrong, just like us, right? Because we're not perfect until we met Jesus Christ as our Savior and our sins were washed under the blood. And the cross of Christ triumphed over death, and then the resurrection triumphed over the grave, and we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Jesus came not to condemn the world. Why? Verse 18, because the world is already condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you are here and you had never given your life, your trust, transferred the trust that you have in yourself to Jesus Christ, your faith to Jesus Christ, then you are already condemned. No one here is condemning you. You stand condemned already because we've all broken God's law. You, I, everyone that's ever been born except for Jesus. That's why he's so important. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Brazilian, American, Mexican, doesn't matter. Where they are, you know, we get so hung up, don't we, in America? Because we're a nation of laws. We're a nation of rules that, you know, should be followed. Hey, look, politics aside, let me just say, we're citizens of another country, right? Republicans don't go to heaven. Democrats don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven, right? Our country needs Jesus. We can talk about politics all day long. It's great, and we do. Except for the fact sometimes we forget that, you know what? Whether a person's immigration status is good or bad, they're a soul that's going to live in eternity in heaven or hell. They need Jesus. Doesn't matter if we agree with someone's lifestyle choice, they need Jesus. Doesn't matter if we agree with somebody's politics, they need Jesus. Let's make the main thing the main thing. The other stuff can get sorted out. Jesus Christ, as God brings people to themselves, they are born of the Spirit. There's a man in my dad's church. I remember very well the first time I met him because he has such interesting eyes. Brazilians don't usually have blue eyes. And this man has startlingly blue eyes. His name is Renato. He has a very interesting testimony. Renato was an enforcer for a local cartel, essence of mafia. He was the guy who went and collected money, carried his pistol along, shake people down. Not a really noble profession, but as we said, he was already condemned just like all of us. He was on a subway on a Sunday morning. Very few people. In fact, he was the only person in the subway car. It's a very rare thing, but on Sundays it's possible in Sao Paulo. He was sitting by himself on the way to go and see a man who owed some money, and a man got on the subway and sat down right next to him. Made him angry. He almost got up and moved because the guy sat down right next to him. He had the whole subway car to pick from. And he started to get up, and the man said, "Sit down." Well, that made him angrier even, and he was beginning to argue with the man, and the man looked at him and said, "Do you have a Bible?" He said, "No." He said, "Why don't you have a Bible?" He said, "Well, here, I'm going to give you this Bible. God has a message for you. You need to read it." That was it. That's not exactly conventional soul winning 101. But really, does it matter? You know, it didn't matter what the woman at the well said, per se. She introduced people to Jesus. It shook that man up so much. He went to his appointment, said, "Is so-and-so here?" They said, "No, he'll be back later." He said, "That's okay." Went home. He was scared. Didn't even talk to the man. He got that Bible out and began to read it. And just reading the Bible on his own, came to know Christ as his Savior. And now is in his almost is going on his second year now as a member of the church there. Has a wife and two little beautiful children that are growing up hearing the gospel. His wife is saved. What an amazing God. What an amazing God we have. He can use you, folks. God has a message for you. You need to hear it. If you're led of the Spirit, you can meet people in your daily walk that you can just share a quick testimony with, share a gospel track with, talk to them about Jesus Christ, point them to Jesus. And God will do the work. Jesus will draw all men to himself. Do you believe that? Have you met Jesus? I hope you have. Don't pretend church. You know, religious people, just like Nicodemus, a lot of times go through all the same motions and rituals of anyone else who knows the Lord, but they're still dead. Be careful. A religious person, you can dress them up, you can make them look good, but it's still just perfume on a corpse. You get my meaning? You can't fake life. Life is real. Life comes from within. If you have been born, you're alive, you know you are. But if you've been born again, you have spiritual life, and you know that you are. I hope that you know that you're born again tonight. If you have a doubt about that, if you have a question about that, we would love to help you. Not because we're special, but we know someone who is. And Jesus Christ would love to meet you tonight. He gave up heaven and his very life, suffered your hell in your place, and rose from the dead to prove that he could, and he offers you tonight the gift of eternal life. If you haven't received that, you're missing the greatest opportunity of your life. If you have, has the gospel, has the Spirit borne you along to have compassion on people this week? How's your compassion? Are you missing it? Do you find yourself irritated by the daily life that you're living, constantly angry, constantly upset, constantly looking at the things of this world and missing the bigger spiritual picture of what's really going on around us? We can get so bogged down in the details of living that we forget that we have eternal life. And this life is a blip on the radar screen. It's an instant. It appears for a little while and vanishes away just like that vapor. How's your walk? Are you walking worthy of the Lord? Are you walking, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, 6 through 9? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, a lot of times we forget, Christians, that we need that daily cleansing, minute-by-minute cleansing sometimes, don't we? To walk worthy of the Lord, to be filled with the Spirit, to be used by the Spirit, to be led to witness to people through our day, we need to be walking in tune with the Spirit of God. We need to be listening to him. We need to be in touch with his word. And a lot of times, I'm afraid to say, we get distracted by, we just kind of are coasting in our own strength. We sin and we don't confess it. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then we wonder why life is so frustrating. We're not seeing the power of God in our lives. I'm guilty of it just like anyone else. But we all, I'm trying to do this, you need to do this. We all need to keep short accounts with God. We need to be born of the Spirit, carried along by the Spirit, led by the Spirit in our daily walk so that we can be effective in our witnessing. The mission field starts on your street. Starts on your street, your neighbors, my neighbors. If we don't reach our neighbors in Brazil, we're not going to reach other people. Pray for us. Pray for the ministry. Pray for each other. Pray for yourself that you'll stay walking in the light. And pray that God will reach Calcaia do Alto for Christ. Satan's got a target on our town, folks. You pray for this. We've got a 3,000, almost 2,000-3,000 space parking lot Jehovah's Witness Training Center in our town. We have one of the largest Mormon churches in the area in our town. We have 15 to 20 American, Salvadorian, Honduran, young people, 18, 19-year-olds, that walk up and down the hot or cold streets, raining, sun, shine, doesn't matter, daily walking up and down the streets telling people that Joseph Smith is the way to heaven. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the way to heaven. I've talked to some of these. Many of them don't even believe what they preach. But they're right there spreading lies. They paid their own way to get there. How about that, college students? Save up your money. Go serve the Lord for 2 years to just spread lies. We know the truth. We can do better. Pray for Calcaia. Satan's got a... That's not mentioning the two Catholic churches and all the cults and everything else we've got. All the Pentecostal, you know, health and wealth gospel people and everything else we've got there. That place needs the gospel, and God's put us there for a reason. So pray for us to be faithful, and we'll pray for you. God bless you tonight. Pastor?
Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. We appreciate you being here this evening. As we've heard this message from this dear missionary, what a faithful man and his dear wife have been. And we appreciate the work that God's been doing through them. We want to pray for them. As we think upon these things that he was mentioning, I never want to let a service come and go without giving somebody who the Lord may be speaking to your heart about your soul. I never want to take for granted that everybody here is a born-again child of God. By the way, isn't it a blessing to know that you've been born again? It's a blessing to know that you're on your way to heaven. But if I'm speaking to somebody that you can't say that, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven. Or you know you're not going to heaven, then why don't you come? Let us take a Bible, a lady with a lady, a man with a man, to share with you how the Lord wants to save you tonight. As they begin to play through softly, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to be saved, or you want to learn more about it, or you have a question about it, why don't you come? If God has spoken to you in any way, shape, or form tonight, why don't you come? Asking God to speak to us, to use us in a great way. And may the will of God be done. May God's will be done. I've been studying this week in the book of Titus, preparing for next Wednesday night, unless the Lord lays it on my heart to preach it Sunday morning. And it's talking about false doctrine, talking about false teachers, false prophets, and how the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write some strong language. Strong language. He said their mouths must be stopped. That's what he says. Their mouths must be stopped. And he told Titus, rebuke them sharply. Rebuke them sharply. But you know the interesting thing about that passage? Is in that passage, the emphasis is that they might be saved. Think about that. It's not rebuke them to put them in their place. It's rebuke them because they're believing a lie. And God loves them as much as he loves me. And we need to take a stand, is what I'm trying to say. A stand for the truth. You know how you stand for the truth? You give it out. That's how you stand for it. Tell other people about it. May the Lord help us with this. I appreciate this message. Appreciate the burden. And appreciate that we're able to support him on a monthly basis. God bless you. Thank you for playing. You can look this way. I'd like for everybody to have a copy of the prayer sheet. If the ushers can hear me out in the lobby, I'd like for them to help me. If somebody will step out and just step right out there and ask them to bring some of these in here. Does anybody not have a